Greetings. This is Clarence Bailey III, pastor of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. We bless your holy name, Lord." What a joy and privilege it is to share a message today from the book of Ephesians. This is the last message in our teaching series of the book, and today we will look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 24. The title of today's message is Staying Battle Ready. Before I begin today's message, let's pray. Holy God, our all-knowing God, our all-loving God, our all-graceful God, our all-just God, and our everything God, your name is great. I give you all the honor and praise. I pray you give us the understanding that we need from your word today. May we let it penetrate our hearts and change our lives. Give me the power to preach with clarity and conviction, and give those who are listening the power to hear and receive your truth, free from distractions or doubt. For all these things, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. During my high school years, during the fall evenings on Friday nights, more likely than not, you would find me under the lights of a field engaging in battle. For this battle, I had prepared many hot summer days and endured a lot of pain and sweat. I knew who the target enemy was. I had the right tools for this battle, and I knew the tactics I was to use with my team for this battle. Although I may have painted the picture of a serious battle, it was actually not that serious at all. Because as I look back on it, it was just a competition on a football field by two teams trying to score touchdowns. However, I do not want to talk about this type of battle, but I want to talk about a real battle. A battle of spiritual warfare that all Christians are engaged in to fight against evil. In this battle of spiritual warfare, Christians must stay ready to activate and use the battle tools God has provided. Please get your Bibles and follow along as we go verse by verse through Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 24. The New King James Version of the text reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having strode your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplications for the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." Verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren." Let's pause right there for a moment. "Finally" denotes that there was something that proceeded. In our case, being at the end of the book of Ephesians, a quick summary would be very appropriate. In the letter of Ephesians, Paul reminded the saints at that time and in now the identity that we have in Christ, how we have been chosen and made holy, how we were once dead in our trespasses and sins and have been saved by grace. We have been told in this letter how the wall between Jews and Gentiles have been torn down, and we are challenged as believers to live in unity with his fellow man. Paul, in his letter, challenges all believers to be imitators of God by living in love, to live as children of light, as well as living with wisdom. Christians are to submit to God in all things, in our relationships, in our marriage relationships, in our parent-child relationships, and our work relationships also. Now, at the end of the letter, Paul reminds us to fight, that we must still engage in this spiritual warfare, and that God has prepared us for this fight. In any battle, an important principle is to know the target enemy. Knowing the target enemy helps the process of strategizing and preparing for the battle. For Christians, even when we know the target enemy, it is necessary to realize that we cannot fight any battle on our own. Verse 10 continues with an encouragement for Paul to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This means to receive strength from the Lord and from the source of his omnipotence. To be omnipotent means to be all powerful. As we see in a few places in the text, the same phrases of be strong in the Lord and in his power is repeated. Therefore, we must take that truth to heart. Paul gives a command for the preparation of battle, and that is to put on the whole armor of God. One aspect of being strong in the Lord and the power of his might is being prepared with the weapons and protections of God. It is always important to know why we are doing a certain thing. In this case, to follow the command to put on the whole armor of God, it is because so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil are his schemes, his deceit, his cunning arts, and his trickery. We are told in the Bible in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he is the thief, referring to Satan, that he does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Here's the truth Paul tells us in the scripture in verse 12. Paul says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Christians must wake up and smell the coffee. That person on your job, the bully at the school, your spouse, a parent, a child, or a family member. These people, regardless of how irritating or bad they may be towards you, they're not the real enemy. Therefore, your energy should not be focused on those and things in the flesh, because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. When I was younger, I used to watch wrestling on television. In the wrestling contest, there was always some type of struggle between two opponents that want to throw the other down. The victor is usually determined by the fighter who is able to hold down or suppress their opponent. The tag team matches were always my favorite. It was ironic to me that there was always a good versus bad component in these matches. It would be clear who would be the good guy and who was the bad guy. The good guy was usually the fan favorite, and the bad guy was not liked very well due to their past tactics of cheating and illegal wrestling moves. This illustration is like the Christian struggle with the power of evil. However, this struggle is not fake, as wrestling matches in the WCW or the WWF is. But this struggle, this Christian struggle, this spiritual warfare, it is real. Again, verse 12 says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." What are these things? They all sound similar, but the fact is that they are listed differently. It signifies that there are some differences after all. The scripture says that we wrestle against principalities. Principalities are forces, usually demonic beings that oppose God. These powers, rulers of darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places are all Satan's helpers. We must remember and know that Satan is not all-knowing, not all-powerful, not all-present like God. Satan's power is limited, but let's not underestimate his power, because Satan has helpers in these principalities and dark powers of such. A truth to hang your hat on is that even though there's a battle against good and evil, evil has already lost. But because the enemy Satan knows that his days are numbered, he's wreaking havoc all over the world. He would try to devour and take many with him to eternal damnation. But please, please know that Satan is an opponent to take seriously, but a defeated opponent to say the least. While spiritual warfare can involve demonic possession and exorcism, it most often takes place in the mundane details of life. For example, why do you think confessing your sins are so difficult? Why is being obedient so challenging? Why are you afraid to evangelize? Why is forgiveness so daunting? Why is prayer so marred by distraction? It is because the world, the flesh, and the devil are continuously working against what our Lord has for us. Yet we are not to lose heart, because we are to face them in the Lord's strength, knowing that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. We go into battle with Christ, who strengthens us. The fact of the matter is, once you know the target enemy, and in our case, Satan and all of the principalities, powers, rulers, and spiritual wickedness, we must be armed and ready for battle. Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Believers in Jesus Christ are called to take up their armor. This is the second time that Paul instructs the saints to put on or take up the whole armor of God in this short stretch of scripture. Think back when you were a child and your parent or grandparent told you to do something. If you didn't do it the first time, it was quite possible that they would come back and say it a little firmer. But the simple fact that they would mention it the second time means that it's something of importance, and action steps should follow promptly. Recognizing that this is the armor of God is important because if God has armor, it signifies that God has been engaged in battle since the beginning, and we have the opportunity to fight from the side of victory. It is necessary for the Christian to take up the whole armor. Taking up and putting on the whole armor is necessary because we must be fully equipped in any battle with God so that we may be able to withstand in the evil day and doing all the things to continue to stand. In the spiritual battle that Christians are in, it is important to know that the target enemy, as we can see as we look at these verses 10 through 13. Another principle in battle is to know that the tools that we have available in this battle. And we will find those in verses 14 through 17. Christians have these battle armor. We are to stand with the first tool of battle, which we find in verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. To gird means to fasten garments with a girdle or a belt. A girdle holds things tight to the body and in place. The Christian is first instructed to first wrap up with the belt of truth. Truth is important because a person with a clear conscience and walking in integrity can face the enemy without fear. The next part of the armor is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. In historic battle attire, a breastplate consisting of two parts protecting the body on both sides, from the front and the back, from the neck to the middle of the body. This part of the armor symbolizes the believer's righteousness, which is only found in Christ, as well as the believer's righteous life. Without the practical righteousness in our lives, it will give Satan the opportunity to attack us. Furthermore, verse 15 says, to be fully armed, we must shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. To shod means to bind under oneself, or in this case, possibly a sandal that is under your feet. This is a metaphor to state that in order to be fully prepared and equipped, the Christian must be firmly planted and stand on the gospel of peace, the gospel, which is the good news and peace. The gospel of peace has two implications. One is that we must be at peace with God and with others in order to defeat the devil. And also the second implication is that Christians must be prepared each day to share the gospel of peace with the lost world. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. A shield that was used in the battle was large, about 4 feet by 2 feet, made of wood and covered with tough leather. Faith here in this context is a defensive weapon that protects us. It is a trust in the promises and the power of God. As a soldier held the shield before him, it protected him from the spears, arrows, or in this case, the fiery darts, which can be in the physical realm. But in this case that we're referring to, it's the spiritual realm. Some examples of fiery darts that are aimed at our hearts and minds from Satan come in the form of lies, negative thoughts, hateful thoughts, doubts, and even burning desires of sin. Being properly equipped with the shield of faith protects the saints from these threats. Next, in verse 17, the next piece of armor is the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the mind. What you think in your mind will control what you believe, and what you believe will result in action. Satan will use any trick and any deception to affect your thinking. The helmet, on the other hand, being a piece of the armor of God, refers to the mind that is under the control of God. When God controls the mind, Satan cannot deceive the believer. The meaning of the word salvation in this text is deliverer. The helmet of salvation symbolizes to the Christian that they are saved, even when there may be times they may question their salvation. The helmet of salvation allows the saint to fight against lies and doubts of salvation in our minds by helping us believe and understand scriptures like Romans chapter 1, verse 16, which says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." Or even the earlier passages in Ephesians, such as in chapter 2, verses 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God." The last piece of the armor, which is found at the end of verse 17, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is the only offensive weapon that is part of the armor. This piece of armor is important for the Christian to follow and the example of Jesus Christ himself. When Jesus was led into the wilderness after he was baptized for 40 days to fast and pray, at the end of the 40 days, Satan came to tempt Jesus. This account is in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, which reads, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that the stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written,' he said, 'Give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus said to him, 'It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Just as Jesus fought off the devil with the word of God, we too as Christians are to fight off the devil with the word. However, it is key that we must read and study the word for ourselves in order to be fully equipped to use it properly. Just remember what Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Overall, too often spiritual warfare is seen as an individual believer's call to put on the armor and fight demonic forces alone, as it is a test to prove his faith. This couldn't be further from the truth. Spiritual warfare is about God's people joining their Lord in his warfare. He equips with spiritual gifts and tools that the Christian needs and empowers us according to his will to accompany him into enemy territory and further his kingdom purposes. Being successful in battle does require you to know your target enemy and the tools that are needed to defeat the target enemy. But without having a proper strategy, success is not guaranteed. The third principle in engaging in spiritual warfare is knowing the tactic that is key to carry out the mission. The key tactic is laid out here, especially in verse 18, which says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." With the enemy made known, the principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Also, we know the tools that God has given us: truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the word of God, in which the Christian is to use in battle. But what is key to reveal to the enemy and to activate those tools is prayer. The Christian is commanded to pray always, acknowledging God as supreme authority and ruler who knows all, can do all, has power for all, seeking God, our Father, according to his great will to meet our every need, want, petition on the behalf of others. We are called to pray hard and long. Specifically, the scripture that says we are to pray always. Families must make prayer a priority and take it seriously. Churches have a priority to teach their members the importance to pray and to model prayer by having it ingrained in their church's makeup. To pray requires the saints to humble themselves before a mighty and awesome God. Praying signifies the believer's dependence and recognition of the Lord's supremacy in all things and in all situations. Praying enables the saint engage in spiritual warfare, to be watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. To be watchful paints the picture of a guard being on duty and observing, a guard understanding the assignment that is at hand, as well as knowing the threat that is posed. As a guard sits quietly listening and observing on his post, so as the saint, as a Christian, sits quietly in the presence of God, asking for wisdom and knowledge of the schemes and tricks of Satan and the place God has them in prayer. We cannot underestimate prayer. To underestimate prayer, it is to underestimate the only one who can answer prayer, and that is God our Father. After Paul urges the saints to pray, he then asks them in verse 19 to also pray for him. Paul says, "And pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Paul requests that they would specifically pray that he will speak the words of truth that the Spirit gives him, and that he will speak the truth boldly, to speak the truth without any ounce of timidity or shyness, without any concealment or fear, but rather he would share truth with free and fearless confidence. Paul understands that he must speak boldly because of the size of the message that he has to speak to the people, this message of the mystery of the gospel. Now, in referring to a mystery, it's not referring to some mystical agent of secrecy of some sort, but rather the word mystery is referring to a revelation of truth that is now being revealed, particularly in this specific time in history to Paul and others, but had not been revealed previously to the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament. This mystery of truth, of the good news of Jesus Christ, the truth that has been revealed that Jesus, the promised Messiah sent by God the Father, has been on the earth, did wonderful works, performed the greatest work on the cross, paying the penalty of sins for all of humanity by experiencing death on the cross and rising 3 days later with all power. Jesus, the ultimate atonement of our sin, also provided a way to unite all people to one flesh, which includes Jews and Gentiles united as one. There's a practical implication when Paul solicited the prayers of the saints at Ephesus. It reminds saints to pray for their pastors and spiritual leaders who are ambassadors in chains, also for the mission of God and the advancement of God's kingdom. Always pray for your leaders and do not take your leaders for granted. No leader or pastor ever reaches the point that they no longer need prayer. Paul continues in the rest of this letter in verses 21 and 22, says, "But that you may also know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts." Paul, at the end of this letter, writes that the message to his beloved people will be carried by a fair brother, who Paul refers to a faithful minister. He had the task of presenting the letter, as well as sharing in further detail all that Paul had faced and would be facing. Ultimately, sending someone who was close to Paul and who had close communication with him was an attempt to comfort their hearts. Here are some scriptures of truth I would like to leave with you. In regards to spiritual warfare, what does God do? Well, one, God fights for you. We're told in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4, "For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory." Number two, God provides strength. We're told in Psalm verses chapter 18, verse 39, "You arm me with strength for battle." Three, God protects us. And Isaiah 54, verse 17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prevail." And then four, God is ultimate victor. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31, "The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord." And also, regards to spiritual battle, what is our role? What is the role of the Christian? What is the role of the believer? It is, one, to fight the good fight with faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, we're called to fight the good fight of faith. Two, we're called to use our spiritual weapons. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "Your weapons are not the weapons of the world, but we have a divine power to demolish strongholds." And then three, we are to acknowledge spiritual conflict. As we're told in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that you're not fighting against people, flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil. As this message comes to a close, let's not miss the fact that Paul told the people of Ephesus at the end of the letter to be strong in the Lord and put on the spiritual armor to fight in the spiritual battle that was before them. Paul told them to be ready always with the weapons of God against the attacks from the enemy. To the Christian, arm yourself with the right weapons to fight the true enemy. Therefore, take up the weapons of truth, righteousness, faith, peace, salvation, and the word of God. Let's not forget that everyone is called to the important command to pray. You may have heard the saying that prayer changes things. The reason prayer is able to change things is because it is God's design for his people to influence the heavenly realms. The question is, will the Christian be obedient and pray faithfully to the Father? Will the Christian be bold and pray fervently to the Father? Will the Christian be steadfast and pray without ceasing to the Father? Will the Christian pray with a spirit of expectation for the Father? The bottom line is, will the Christian be fearless and press into spiritual warfare through prayer? Utilize prayer, saints. It is our power. Let us pray diligently for one another. Let us pray for our spiritual leaders as well as leaders in the world, but definitely again for our pastors and our elders. Pray for leaders in our homes, the fathers, as well as in some cases the moms, who is the leader of the home due to the absence of the man in the home. Also, let us pray for the lost, those people who may not have heard the name Jesus and the miraculous work that he did on the cross. To the one who may be seeking answers, who may want to know more about God, know that God is a great God. He is a holy God. In his holiness, he cannot tolerate sin. Our enemy Satan wants to deceive in the spiritual realm as he has no victory. The battle, you must know, is not against flesh and blood. In other words, it's not against people, but it is against the schemes and tricks of the devil that uses principalities, rulers, hosts of darkness to spread lies and deceit. God sent his son Jesus so that people can have an opportunity to have the weapons necessary to engage Satan in spiritual warfare. My prayer is that you would take the truth of this message to your heart, and the Holy Spirit will lead you to repent of your sins and surrender your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Will you choose Jesus today? I will end this message in closing as Paul closed the letter in Ephesians. He said in verse 23 and 24, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Let us pray. Dear holy and righteous God, I give you honor and praise. Thank you for the awesome truths that we were able to take from your word today. Help each of us, each and every day, to be discerning of the spiritual warfare in which we all face. I claim victory this day as we have already had victory in you, Lord. I pray this message honored your holy word. I ask that we will be forever transformed for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Clarence Bailey III, pastor of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions about today's message, if you have a prayer request or have decided to follow or renew your commitment to Jesus, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843 or email us at shorecommunitybible@gmail.com. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in his word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessing be upon you and your family.